Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Round six is in the bank, and we've had some interesting games, to say the least. We've had a Southeast Melbourne Phoenix that has won their first game, Melbourne United drop one. We've had owners talking about it. We've had teams win on the road. We've had teams win at home. It's been a tremendous week of basketball, and we've got more coming. Hello, Botton, my friend. How are you? Talk to me.
I'm good. Here's my first question for you without notice. Ooh. Southeast Melbourne win with an interim coach, and then they announced Josh King as their new coach. Mm. What's your position on that? Should they maybe go on a little longer?
I went on air, and I'll go back because I know someone has asked me this already. After they lost and they sacked Mike Kelly, I went on air after a Kings game. I can't remember the exact days, don't quote me on it, but I think it was the Sunday that he got fired because I was on the TV the next day. And I said, if I'm the Phoenix, I don't want an interim coach. That's me, right? This is how I'm thinking. I'm saying to the players, sorry, Mike Kelly's not our coach anymore. Here's your new coach and sign him. Like, get this done as quickly as you can. Whether that's Sam McKinnon, whether that's whoever it is, I don't care. I was surprised to see it after one game, though. I thought that was weird. What I'm saying is, why not just let Mike go one more game and just bring in the new coach? Because now there's the question, Sammy won. Why didn't you do this?
Exactly. So,
what do you think?
Oh, I'm just curious as to how we're allowing foreign coaches, American coaches, Finland, Israel, wherever you want to call them in from. And we've got people, you know, that really should be getting the opportunity, assistant coaches that perhaps should get. I mean, maybe not in their scenario because, you know, they need a coach that can take them forward. But Sam McKinnon, that was an amazing turnaround in a week. And I thought a lot of it had to do with playing the right combinations, playing groups together for longer so that they could actually, you know, get a bit of a groove going. I thought he did a good job, far better than when he had that stint in Brisbane. So I might have been prepared to take a punt on him because I hate seeing Paul Henare and Rob Beveridge and Trevor Gleeson and Andre Lemanis and on and on and on.
Yeah, there's a lot of these great people. There's definitely a lot. Well, Josh King, let's stay here then. Josh King has been announced as the new head coach. I hope I say this. Darris Safaka, is that right? Darris Safaka, that's where he was.
Where he was? I thought that was that illness you were diagnosed with.
I can take cream for that. In the Turkish Basketball Super League is right. Where he's come from. Mm-hmm. Look, all accounts is he's pretty into it. He'll be a high-energy type of coach. As we've said last week, there's not a lot of Justin Tatums around, right? You don't make a change and then bang. So proof is in the pudding. I think it is weird that you've got three coaches in a week and a bit.
Yeah. Thing with Justin Tatum, though, is that he had already been sitting in with Jacob Jackamas, so he had a feel for the competition, for opposition, for his own players. Josh King starts behind the eight ball. Like he starts six games behind to try and work out who's what, who does what, who fits well, which opponents do we have to worry about. So it's just an interesting conversation to have. But the one that I know that the listeners are really keen on is our top six. So as of this round, what's your top six? Has it changed from last week?
It has changed from last week for various reasons. So I'll just go from the top for my top six. Illawarra, no change. Adelaide, no change. Sydney, Melbourne, both no changes, 1-4. My fifth spot, welcome the New Zealand Breakers, rocking on in there. And they have taken Perth out of sixth spot. I've moved Perth to 7, Cairns 8, Bullets 9, Southeast 10. So who have I got left in 6? Tassie. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm not doing that with a lot of conviction. There's a lot of talk. Jack McRae is not coming back. So that's great for him. Not sure what they're going to do with their import, but that's my six. Let's ask you your six, and then we'll start to break it down.
Against mine has not changed at one iota since we started doing it this way. Order changes because now that Adelaide has beaten Illawarra and Sydney, I think, and now also getting the champs, I think you can actually say, well, Adelaide could be in number one position, or Illawarra, Sydney, Melbourne. Those four are pretty much a lock. And I'm still sticking with Tasmania and Cairns. I'm nervous about them. But, you see, I'm not convinced with New Zealand because, again, the sample size is too small. So they come back and they lose to a Brisbane, which is on the tail end of this extraordinary trip that they've had with the NBA. So I don't really count that for much. And then they beat Perth. But again, you remove Bryce Cotton out of the Perth team after 2.5 minutes, and you beat that team ultimately by 4 points, which isn't that imposing, at home. So I'm still...
So hang on, so just run it. So you've got Adelaide, then did you say Illawarra in two?
Illawarra, yeah. Illawarra. I got Adelaide. Illawarra,
try and get Sydney. That. So Adelaide one, Melbourne two, Sydney three?
No, Sydney two, Melbourne three.
No, Illawarra two, you said, did you not?
Sorry. Right. Illawarra two, Sydney three, Melbourne four, Tassie five, Cairns six.
Okay, I don't mind it, and I'm not going to argue, but as we did last week, we went through your six, and then we'll talk about this the teams. This week, we're going to go through mine. So let's start with the Illawarra Hawks. I don't think it was their greatest game against Cairns. They just got the job done is the only way that I could do it. I didn't see enough of the game to sort of say, you know, loved it, didn't love it, but I just thought Tyler Harvey did enough to get him the win, scoring 20 points.
Yeah, Cairns again... put up a fairly decent fight. And Darren Armstrong's out for 2 weeks with this ankle.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
So they're going to take some lumps during that. And that's why I'm going to try and stay strong with them because I like them at full strength as a top 16. But, you know, the danger is that loss column still keeps growing and then you find yourself pushing Pup uphill because you're a long way behind. But at this stage, I didn't see much in that performance that disturbed me in terms of, they can't get it done. Whereas... Tasmania, I'm a little nervous about Tasmania at the minute because,
not there yet. We'll come to that. So, yeah, Illawarra, just to bounce some scores, Trey Kell, 14 points from 15 shots, not one of his better games, 1 of 8, but he did have 7 assists. And I like Sam Froling, 10 and 8, did well. Interesting for Cairns, Sam Wardenberg, 14 points, 10 rebounds, all defensive. No offensive, but I thought Pedro Bradshaw, that was his best game by far. 18 points off 15 shots and 14 rebounds, 7 of those offensive. Rob Edwards, I think he's struggling that he doesn't have a Taron Armstrong.
Right?
I just think he needs that. And I do think Kyle Adnam needs to sort of play that point guard role and get the ball moving around a little bit more to be able to see that. But all in all, Cairns doing what Cairns does and they'll be waiting to get their injuries back. Let's move on to Adelaide. Adelaide I had in second spot. You had them other way around, Illawarra, Melbourne. So that's Illawarra, Adelaide. So that's fine. Adelaide just keep being Adelaide at the moment, mate. I'm loving it. I thought Jarrell Martin completely out of shape, but showed enough that he's quality.
Yeah. I think that's, if they can find a way to make all of that work, all those pieces fit, I'm not unhappy. I was looking at Vasiljevic. He played a lot of minutes, 31 minutes, which is sort of around what he normally plays, and his production was down. But as I say, I mean, a bit like Tassie, they've got to find their identity. Now, it's changed again with Jarrell Martin coming in. So we've got to give him a couple of weeks. But basically, if you look at the talent that's there and the potential that's there, then they're a top six side.
Couldn't agree more. Congratulations, Jason Kadee, 400 games. I think that's outstanding.
Yep.
Well deserved. Kendrick Davis had 23 points, and Montrez had 22 and 7 rebounds. So I thought he had another good game. We'll stay on Tassie now.
Yep. No, quick one. Nobody has said anything about the fact that Kendrick Davis is Mark Davis's son. I would have thought that would have been huge news. Sorry. That's not one that he takes credit for. Sorry. Move on.
Tasmania Jack Jumpers will stay on this game. Oh, tough weekend for them, man. They're just having trouble putting the ball in the hole. I actually feel a bit sorry for them. You've said it, and I thought you summed it up really well. Unfortunately, they are just not getting the Australian contingent numbers. Take Magne out. He is playing unbelievable, right? Yep. He is having a stellar season. Best centre in the game. No question, hands down, right?
Yep.
But you take that out.
Your hands up.
That's good defense. but you take that out. There's just, Tarangi, okay. Anthony Drimmick. Yeah,
Anthony Drimmick,
4 points.
Down.
He's struggling. Clint Steindl playing more minutes than he was. Okay. But, yeah, just not enough that I worry for them.
The point I'd make, and this is absolutely not a knock on Clint Steindl, because I've always been a fan of his, even when he came into the league, at the same time as Cam Glidden, and we're playing for Cairns, Taipans. I thought, this kid's an athlete. He's going to be something. All I'm saying is that if for the first 3 years of the Tasmania Jack Jumpers as their captain, he came off the bench, if you're having to insert him into the starting lineup, which they have to because Drimmick and Tarangi aren't pulling their weight, but if you've got to do that, that's sort of a mark of almost desperation, something we haven't had to do for 3 years.
It is because they're not scoring. I did mention this in the opener. How long do you keep Craig Sword? Now, let's just set this up a bit. Craig Sword came here to play alongside Jack McVay and the others, obviously.
Yep.
He is a defensive renowned player. To turn and say, now we need 15, 20 points at you. I don't know that guy well enough to say he can get that, but I don't think so. And he's certainly not going to be getting in this league from what I've seen. So how long do you lead this? Because, you know, like they look, mate, they're not getting over 75 points at the moment. They're really struggling.
See, I would have jumped all over Thon Maker the second he was cut from the NBA. I would have jumped all over him. Mm. But anyway, that's just me. I mean, he's gone.
Well, let's just quickly say Milton Doyle, 22 points, much better from the week before. But, you know, as I said, I got Tazzy in the six, but I'm doing that a bit reluctantly. Let's move on to Sydney, the Sydney Kings.
Took care of business.
Where do I start? We both sat here and said we thought that Tazzy were going to win. I even picked that as well with you. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the first half, they were. And then the second and third was just abysmal by Tasmania. The turnovers were just shocking from everyone. But the Sydney Kings, look, 21 turnovers for the game. They scored 80 points. You're just lucky you played Tassie on that night. That's as simple as it is. I don't know how much longer he can keep going with Isaiah Liatha. He at the moment is really struggling. I feel for him because I like his game, but at the moment he is 1 of 20 from the 3-point line this season. 1 of 20.
I know, can I say, but I feel very fortunate because I did see the one he made.
Oh, buddy, you're a good man. You're harsh. Okay, what do you think, Sydney? No change.
They're fine. They're fine.
Quatnoy came on, hit three threes, but 14 points from six shots, basically. So
this is the classic thing, Brad, is that that's the next man up mentality. That is it. Where a week before, Sean Bruce hits six threes, and he's the one that you weren't expecting if you're an opposition coach. This time it's Quatnoy that comes out and does his thing, what, 5 out of 6 from the floor, who you weren't expecting. You see, so they've got so many weapons to come at you, and it's whoever it is on the night. That's why I've been disappointed with some of the comments that have come out of Perth, say out of John Willey in the first week or the first couple of weeks when they lost, and it was like, oh, we're down this guy, that guy, that. It's like, come on.
Next bat up.
Yeah, who's there, not there.
So interesting numbers, I thought, in this game. Cam Oliver played just over 12 minutes, but it wasn't like it went to Le Pepe because he only played 16. He played Xavier in the five a lot, and it seemed to work in that game, especially in the second half. We move on. Melbourne, what a game against Southeast Melbourne. You said it was going to be a cricket score, mind you.
You're the only one that says cricket score.
Yeah, you're right. I know. I wanted to just have a go at you, but you did say it was going to be a big score. I said Southeast Melbourne will be much better, but still lose it.
Yes.
Credit where credit's due. We both said that, by the way, without knowing Shea Lee was going to be out. And I don't know if that would have swayed us because every time that guy doesn't play, Melbourne don't seem to play well. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he wins some games, but you know what I mean by that, right?
That said. They did lose Derek Walton. Southeast Melbourne did lose Derek Walton during the game. True.
But I think he's Shea's more of a loss than Derek. You know, they put Angus Glover on there and he did a good job at the point.
Didn't he?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. There was Sam, I think he found the right rotations and gave the guys the right sort of minutes. Even Ben Eyre, you know, like was back in the rotation. And I think he got a lot right.
I agree. I thought Ian Clark was great. Chris had 16 points, 3 of 10 from the 3-point. It was a hard game, 93-84, but Jordan Hunter, 20 points, 9 rebounds, and Matt Hurt doing what Matt Hurt thing does. Sobey getting 16, much better from him. But geez, Jordan Hunter was good.
Yeah, I've got to tell you though, the first play of the game that Melbourne ran, you know, the back screen from Chris Golding on Jack White for the lob and dunk. Yep. So I'm looking at that and going, yeah, this is going to be bad for East Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I was going, what's happened to United? Because, they just didn't have it. Just didn't have it. On after what they did to Adelaide, you sort of sometimes wonder if after you've played so very well, whether you don't just have a letdown and you go, oh, yeah, we got these guys.
Well,
they've just changed coach.
Here's an interesting one. I'm going to be there on Thursday night, and I cannot wait. Illawarra are playing Melbourne. Now, Illawarra are coming off a 5-1. Melbourne, they've lost two games this year, right? And this is now their third. After the previous two losses, they won by, don't quote me, it's like 26-28 or 25-27 or something like that. Yep. Now, they have not lost back-to-back regular season games. I'm not talking of grand final, but they have not lost for 2.5 years. So Melbourne don't lose back-to-backs, right? That's what I'm pretty much getting at. And they're playing Illawarra at 5-1. Man, I cannot wait for Thursday night. That's going to be an absolute ripper.
Yep.
New Zealand Breakers, welcome back to Australia. Tucko Ford days.
Yeah.
Let's not go there. New Zealand, what do you think?
I'm too small a sample size again. They've played two of their four games have been against Brisbane, okay? Yeah. So they've split them. And now this round they're playing South East Melbourne, who's also someone they've already played. So
and they played Perth without Bryce Cotton when you're adding that as well.
Yeah, so you're sort of going, can't really get a gauge yet. You need to see them against Sydney and Cairns and Melbourne. See them against some teams where you can go, okay, now let's assess where they really sit. So that's why I don't have them in my six at this time. And Perth.
Well, I do, but I'll just cut you with New Zealand there. And I know you're going to agree with this as well. You can only play with who's in front of you, against, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
My answer is I don't think they're playing great basketball. I don't think they're outstanding, but they've done enough to win. That's what I like. I like Mooney. I think he's a really good player, right? I like what he's giving them. PJC, we know. There is some Mitch McCarron hurt his knee in that game. Now, I've got to be honest with you, I don't even remember seeing it.
No, I don't either.
But he hurt his knee.
So that could be serious. There won't be anything coming out of the Breakers in any but I mean that could be serious if they're gonna make an announcement.
I'm hearing like some people are saying, you know, like out for a short term. I'm hearing it could be longer. Now I don't know how true that is. I'm hearing it could be pretty bad. And that would be such a shame because he helps them.
And the same thing out of Perth, where there's, you know, staying very tight-lipped about the extent of Bryce Cotton's rib injury. Mm. Did you see that occur?
Well, I saw it, but I didn't see it. You know what I mean? I still
he drove in
a little bit.
Jonah Bolton threw an arm out, but not a clean fist.
No,
nothing.
There was no.
It was just an arm out as he went past, and suddenly he's gone down like a sack of potatoes off the back of a truck. It was amazing. So, and they're not saying much, but I'm thinking he might be out for an extended period too. And there's a lot of rumors about where he may be going next season.
Well, I was going to ask you two things. One about next season. Two, do you bring in a new import? Because they're allowed. They can get a replacement import. No difference to what Montrez did with Jarrell.
Right?
So you're now GM of Perth. Bryce Cotton's gone for a month. It could be longer, but I'm just throwing that out there. What do you do?
Yeah, well, I think you're looking around at who the available guards are, shooting guards. That's what you need. So there's no point in bringing in, you know, a stud center and just making life even harder for Keanu Pinder. No, that's the guy you got to replace. So,
I'm glad you mentioned that because you'll see Kristen Doolittle. I tell you, if you play Super, Super League or whatever that thing is, Challenge. Yeah, Fantasy. Get on Christian Doolittle.
That's not the sort
not
of fantasy
week. Let's not go there. But get on Christian.
Five is really different.
Get on Christian Doolittle. I would, you're probably thinking still different. But anyway, moving on there. So look, I would say, I'm. Keanu Pinder's the one that's got to step up now, right? Kristen Doolittle will do his bit. Ty Webster had a great game, but he's up and down the way he plays, and you don't want to try and get 20 to 25 a game from him.
Can I say, I could not believe how many times Ty Webster got the ball at one end of the court and drove all the way to the basket. Yeah. Like, all the way to the basket.
You know what? He's got a great deception, 8 of 8 from the free throw line as well. But what he's got a great deception is he's always looking like he wants to pass, and I think he lulls his defenders into that. You know what I mean? Oh, who's he going to pass to? Who's he going to pass? Oh, my God, he just laid it up. You know, that type of thing. So,
Brad, there were times they hadn't even turned around and he was driving past guys with their backs to him. I'm thinking, how smart are you guys? So
this could be some worrying times for Perth. I am concerned for them. But as we know, you know, you go and get a Montrez and the whole game changes. I'm not saying they need that type of player, but.
Can I just say, Brad, the Perth Wildcats have won 10 championships. I have no concerns for them. None. Zero. Sorry.
You're not sitting from Adelaide by any chance, are you? Okay, the last team I want to speak about now is the Brisbane Bullets.
I've still got them in last place in my 10 at the moment. I've still got them in last place. I'm sorry, I'm not dazzled. They beat a New Zealand.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and they beat a South East Melbourne that was falling apart. So,
I'm certainly not convinced with Brisbane and the two games they've won. Yeah. You know, well, you said it last week. They will win against New Zealand was your exact words. I remember it. They will win against New Zealand, but that's still not going to be enough for me because I want to see,
See, and this week they got Tasmania. And where Tasmania is right now, again, they're more vulnerable than they would be, say, in 4 weeks' time when they found their identity. They know what they're doing. They've got their rotation sorted out. Maybe Craig Sword's playing a different role in a different country. So, I mean, that right now, even if they get Tassie, unless they really blow Tassie off the floor, again, I'm just going to go, okay, well, fair enough.
Give me your best moment of the round, please.
Well, my best moment of the round was a Will Magnay block. And because your best moment of the round is what? Tell me.
Well, I'm going to go with the block now then. If you're going to take that one because it was mine, well, I'm going to go for my Isaac's block.
No.
Will Magnay's on Isaac, sorry, yes.
So basically when we talked about this off air, we both had his block on Montrezl Harrell, but I'm happy to take the one he did on Isaac Humphries because basically in that one game, Will Magnay blocked the bejesus out of two of the strongest big men in the game.
Will Magnay's another level, man. We might not see him soon. Like, I mean, he's just playing.
I'm starting to wonder about that too.
All right, your player of the round?
For me, it was Jordan Hunter. I think he put up with a lot of crap in that game. I think there was some people lining him up and bumping him and doing all kinds of crazy crap to him, which I don't think he deserved. And I think he kept it together, focused, and was huge for South East Melbourne in that.
Couldn't agree more. Look, I'm a massive fan. I think he is the best big man I've seen screen and roll. I just the way he picks up that ball and off his right foot dunks it left-handed or two-handed, I just love it. I think he's great. I don't disagree with that. If I was going to say who else it could be, I really thought Matt Mooney was great, right, in their win. He was outstanding. But they did have a loss. Their first game against Brisbane, and he was nowhere to see. But I want to give them credit because they just flown back and been overseas for that long. Yeah. So I'm just going on the second game where New Zealand won it, and I think they were great, and he was my player of the round for that. Okay, let's move on to the next round.
Rattle me.
You want me to rattle you? Okay, all right. I'm going to say, and there's going to be pluses and minuses to this one, the owner of the South East Melbourne Magic. I love it.
I
did that last week too. I was listening. I got to stop saying that. I just can't help it. When I put my hand, I'm like, yes, I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, but it is true. Anyway, the owner of the South East Melbourne Phoenix coming out and saying that, that's dog shit basically, or whatever he said about Chris Goulding and the flopping and everything. Whilst I don't necessarily agree that owners should probably be backing other players, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I love that Dean Vickerman has already come out and go, I wouldn't want my owner saying something about an opposition. We'll flag that for the next game and bank it. Oh yeah, bring it on, baby. That's awesome. I love it.
I like that because my Nigel Nasty happens to be along the same line as of Chris Goulding. Because I'm thinking, mate, he got away with murder in that game. You're talking at the referees, you're yelling at the referees, you're carrying on like a pork chop, and you're getting away with it. Just be thankful because, he has got a reputation for falling over if someone. If someone comes back from the kiosk and opens the door, Chris is going to fall over on the court. So, I mean, he has got that reputation. So, cool it a bit. And I think the ref needs to pull him into line. Just quickly want to say congratulations to Sandy Brondello and the New York Liberty winning the WNBA championships. Great to have an Australian there. But The foul at the end of regulation that they put on Alana Smith from Minnesota Lynx was shocking.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, terrible. When LeBron James is tweeting that that was a terrible call, and the man knows what a foul is and what it isn't because he's because he's another one that you can't open the kiosk door. Anyway, I just want to say that flopping is just such a blight on the game.
Well, it is, and that's where Romy, I don't know if I said his name earlier, but Romy from the Southeast Melbourne, I don't disagree. The exact words were, Goulding constantly flops and cries about it. This shit is weak. Great win for Southeast Melbourne. They earned it. Vickerman comes back. It's disappointing if one of our owners made personal comments about another team's player. We'll remember them for next time we play them. I think that's fabulous. Great for basketball. Staying on now, I just want to flip back to the WNBA. The WNBL starts next week and just want to let all our listeners know we're going to have a launch, if you want to call it, for the Brad and Body pod. We're going to have a very special guest, and let's just say legend of our sport will be coming on, and we'll be talking. Body, am I giving too much away?
No, you're just so generous in your
can
play.
I just
God
can
almighty.
I just legend. No, that, well, you're right, I thought you were a good rider, so that was good. But can I let's just get our listeners. I had a lot of tweets this week, and people had go at me about, you know, bagging Perth and then whinging, and what about other teams?
Oh, good, I love it. That's fair. Perth losing.
Good look for that. Yeah, but no, that's fair enough, and I take that on the chin because there are other teams. Let's get some tweets out there who they think is going to be on the show next week. I look forward to listening to it.
I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
No, just a clue. I'm just going to simple. I'm going to say Brad just called this person a legend, and I had a bit of a giggle at that. I thought that was a little over the top. So this is someone that's bordering on legendary status. That's your starting point.
Oh, well, now everyone's just gone, okay, we know it's not Lauren.
Yeah,
you would never say that about Lauren. Okay.
Let's go through this next round.
Quick. Give me home. New Zealand Breakers on Thursday night versus the Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Ooh, wow. Nah, Breakers at home. Illawarra. Oh, shit. Against Melbourne. I'm trying to think who I would go.
Melbourne.
Oh, just because of you. I'm going opposite Illawarra. Adelaide beat Cairns at home on Friday.
Yes, Adelaide.
Yep. Perth versus Sydney. You got to go to Sydney. Yeah, absolutely. Phoenix back up against home versus Illawarra. So a double loss, you're saying?
They're not losing two. Yeah, Illawarra's not losing two.
Okay, no, I agree. Illawarra to win that one. Oh, Brisbane at home versus Jackies. I got to go Jackies.
So have I, actually. Yeah. You know, I sort of wouldn't be surprised if Brisbane won. But I think at some point, Tasmania has to start to, as I say, find its new identity and move forward, and this might be the game to do it.
The last time New Zealand came into Sydney, PJC went to work. Now, this was last year. They're at home, Sydney versus New Zealand. Who gets the win this Sunday?
Oh, Sydney wins.
Yep, I agree. And then the last game of the round, Melbourne versus Cairns, and Melbourne to win that one. Last one, don't forget.
Hey, yeah. But that's when they had Taron Armstrong.
Taron, exactly.
They don't have him now. I can't see them getting Melbourne. So that'll be two wins for Melbourne, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And two losses for Cairns. And yet, depending on how those games are actually played, will influence whether I still think they're a top six team or not, because it's the performance. You want to see guys having a crack.
Can I just say, don't forget Shay Ely out, right? And he's a big
loss.
That's
significant. Yeah.
Big
especially
loss.
Especially against Illawarra.
You're still going for Melbourne against Illawarra?
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot harder to shut down Tyler Harvey and Trey Kell. And they're getting a lot from
Dave O'Hickey's playing bloody well too.
Yeah,
I love what
Lucky
he's
doing. Albrick.
Yes,
but they don't tend to lose two regular season games. I've been reliably informed.
Yes, they don't. That is very, very true. Well, I will say it to our listeners. I was telling Body off air. Melbourne has not lost two games in a row for over 2 years, not including the championship round. Okay, so I'm just ignoring that. So
regular season.
They literally any game they've lost, they've backed up and won it. And the two games they've lost this year, they've won by 25 plus. The next game. So it's a fair stat. It's a fair stat, Body. Body, great round. Looking forward to it. To all our listeners, thank you for listening. Check us out on socials. Tell us who you think's going to be on the legend. Don't listen to Body. The legend is coming on of our sport for the WNBL wrap next week. Body, I'll see you next time.
Good play. Great player, but I don't know. Legend.
Oddy, I can't believe you really said that. Come on. Legend. Yes.
Well, should we have a gender reveal perhaps to make it easier for the listeners?
Or should I say pink?
Okay. And she's a great player. Not sure about legend.